بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to the month of Ramadan by different titles. One of the titles that the month enjoys is Shahrul Muwasat, a month wherein we express sympathy, a month that is designed to create within us or enhance within us the quality of compassion, the quality of sympathizing with others, the quality of sharing with others. When the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it's Shahrul Muwasat, it is the month of sympathizing with others, the month wherein we care for others. It does not mean that that attribute and characteristic of sympathy and compassion is confined to the month of Ramadan. This is a workshop. The month of Ramadan is a 30-day workshop. So when you go into a workshop, you are told exactly what it is you are going to study, what it is you are going to be workshopped on, or you're going to a boot camp, right? So there are certain things that you are going to refine, certain things you are going to learn. Whatever it is that you are going to learn, whatever is going to be taught to you, whatever training is going to take place, is not confined to that boot camp session. It's not confined to that workshop session. It's meant to develop you as an individual in your area of activity. It's meant to develop you, it's meant to enhance within you the skill that already exists within you. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to this as Shahrul Muwasat, it's not that our sharing, our caring and compassion is confined to the month of Ramadan, and once the month ends, then the Muwasat ends. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has referred to it as Shahrul Sabr, the month of patience. Why? Not so that our patience is confined to the month of Ramadan, but it's a workshop wherein we are to develop within ourselves the quality of patience, or enhance within it the level of tolerance and patience that we already have within ourselves. And then you exercise it outside of the month of Ramadan. Considering the current situation in Durban and the surrounding areas, I thought that in today's pre-khutbah talk, we will speak about these two characteristics of the month of Ramadan, the two titles the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given this month. There are many other titles that the month enjoys: Shahrul Quran, Shahrul Wahyi, and so on and so forth. But I think, considering the climate and considering the psyche, it is perhaps relevant, Allahu a'lam, for us to maybe focus on these two aspects. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about our reaction to any unfavorable circumstance, right, whether it is in the form of loss of life, loss of wealth, a disaster, a cyclone, flood, whatever it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a unique approach when He instructs us how to react to these type of situations. Generally, you find that if you were to give advice to someone with regards to a certain, perhaps, career that they have chosen to pursue, or whatever else it may be, a person is undertaking a journey, right? And you have experience with regards to that journey, you have some experience with regards to that career, so that person comes to you for advice. And the normal procedure would be that you tell the person of the challenges that he will encounter along the way, and then you tell the person how to react to that challenge. So you tell the person that, look, in your first year, at this stage, this is the challenge you are going to encounter, and this is how you should react. Right? In your second year, this is the challenge, this is the problem that you are going to face, and this is how you react to it. This is how you deal with it. A person is undertaking a journey. You tell the person, look, at this point of your journey, when you reach this border post, for example, this is the challenge you're going to face. These are the questions that you are going to be asked, and this is how you should respond. This is how you should react. That's the normal procedure. But subhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the challenges of life, and we all will face challenges. عِشْمُوا سِرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ أَوْ مُعْسِرًا لَا بُدَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْغَمِّ دُنْيَاكَ بِالْأَحْزَانِ مَقْرُونَةٌ لَا تُقْتَعِ الدُّنْيَا بِلَا هَمِّنَ Imam Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه, he says, عِشْمُوا سِرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ أَوْ مُعْسِرًا. Live a life of affluence, or live a life of suffering, a life of poverty. Whether you grew up in the lap of luxury, or you suffered the brunt of poverty, he says there's one thing in common every individual will taste is sorrow and grief. لا بد في الدنيا من الغم. There will be gham, there will be anxiety, there will be worry, there will be fear, there will be panic. There will be loss that you will suffer. لا تقطع الدنيا بلا هم. You can never traverse the path through dunya without experiencing any anxiety, grief or worry. Impossible. It must happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about tests and trials and tribulations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first speaks of how we react, and then He lists the tests and trials. Surah Baqarah, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sta'inu bisabri wa salah. Allah tells you how to react. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ. Allah lists the challenges that you are going to face along the road. So contrary to our mentality, where you first list the challenge and the problem, and then you tell the person how to react, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first instructs you and tells you about the reaction, how you should react, and then He lists the challenges that you are going to meet along the way. Why is this? Because very often, the circumstance, the unfavorable condition, that is beyond your control. The floods, beyond our control. The cyclone, beyond our control. Less than a year ago, the unrest in the month of July, the July unrest, beyond our control. The pandemic, beyond our control. The circumstance will be beyond your control. But what you have control on is your reaction. How we react to a situation, whether good or bad, that is within our control. So what's more important than the unfavorable condition that we are facing, the unfavorable climate that we are exposed to? What's more important than that, and what should be of greater concern than that, is our reaction. Because that we have control over. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the reaction to an unfavorable circumstance before He speaks of that circumstance and before He tells us of the calamity and the problem or the challenge that you are going to face along the way. That's the first thing. The second thing is that when a believer is faced with any unfavorable situation, again, regardless of whether it affects him directly or indirectly, a believer is one who remains composed and who exercises within him the mechanism of ar-ridha. Ridha can be translated as acceptance. Ridha is to be translated as contentment on the decision of Allah. Ridha means happiness. You are happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided with regards to you. Favorable or apparently unfavorable. Ridha does not mean you become an emotionless robot, a lifeless robot. No. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully taught us how you combine the two. Expression of emotion outwardly, but at your depth, there is serenity. At your depth, there's contentment. At your depth, there's tranquility, there's peace, there's sukoon. That's rida. So that outward expression of grief, that outward expression of sorrow, the outward expression of frustration is met with an inner feeling of rida. There's an inner feeling of contentment, tranquility. That's how a believer reacts to a situation, a bad situation. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam combined the two, and he taught us, subhanAllah, practically, how you combine the two when he lost his infant child, Ibrahim. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teared, and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala wa majma'in was surprised on the occasion. Tears began to stream down the cheeks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he held his son Ibrahim, and the ruh of Ibrahim was being extracted from the body. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held onto his lifeless body and he cried, he teared. And then he said, Inna ala firaqika la mahzunun. Ya Ibrahim, we are aggrieved. We are sad at your loss. Wala naqulu illa ma yarda bihi rabbuna. But we will only utter that which is pleasing to Allah. He's combined both. Outward expression of grief, but an inner feeling of satisfaction, contentment and rida, that I am happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's study the ayah wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the reaction. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ista'inu bisabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the first thing you do is you call out for help. Ista'inu, and that's what happens when you are in a bad situation or you encounter any problem or difficulty. The first thing is you call out for help. Whether it is a flat tire on the side of the road or whatever it may be, the first thing you do is you call out for help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do so, ista'inu, call out for help, shout out for help, and ista'inu comes from awn. Awn is when you call out seriously, genuinely. You're calling out for help, like a drowning person who is calling out for help. That call is driven by an inner feeling of desperation. That's ista'inu, like really genuinely call for help. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ista'inu bisabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, number one, sabr, and this is shahru sabr. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called this the month of sabr. Now, what is sabr practically? What am I required to do? I might have lost something during the floods. I might know of someone who lost something during the floods. I might have been affected in some way. We all have been affected in one way or the other. I might have not had water for the past few days, or there must have been some disruption in the water supply. I might have been without electricity for a few days. How do I react? This is a musibah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us it's going to happen. It's a musibah. So Allah says sabr. Now practically we know sabr is translated as patience. But practically what does sabr mean? To understand the practical application of sabr, we go to the linguistic meaning. Linguistically, what does sabr mean? So the root letters are sad, ba, and ra. Sabara. If you open up a dictionary, the most common used Arabic English dictionary is your Hans Weir dictionary. And you'd think that if I go to sabara, sad, ba, ra, you think if I, you know, you'd think that if I arrive at those root letters, the first meaning I'll get is patience, which is not the case. When you come to sabara, the first meaning you get for sabara is to shackle something down, to fasten something up, to tie something up, to shackle something out down that wants to escape. That's what sabara means. So when you tie in your shoelace, you don't call that sabara, unless your shoes want to run off without you. But that's not called sabara. Sabara is where They would have a slave who wishes to escape from the master. And the master has him shackled and chained. That's called sabara. So the question that comes to mind, what's the relationship? Because always there's a relationship between the concept or the characteristic and the root meaning. So sabr means patience. Practically, how do I apply patience? Let's go to the root meaning, the literal meaning, which means that you need to shackle things down. And that's why ulama, when they explain sabr, they say al-kaf. What does sabr mean? It's kaf, to hold yourself back. Kaful lisan ani shakwa. Number one, you got to fasten your tongue. There's so much you want to say, right? There's so much you want to say right now. There's so much you want to complain about. There's so many negative things that you want to say. Number one, the very first demand of sabr, kaful lisan, shackle the tongue. Those words want to escape. You got to shackle it tied down. Not only in this situation, but in every situation. وَكَفُّ الْجَوَارِحِ. And you got to tie, shackle down your limbs. Sometimes you might be driving on the road and you have a driver with some unethical driving behaviors and you just want to make the gesture. Right? You just want to explode. What does sabr demand? You shackle yourself down. You tie yourself down. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تسب الريح. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us sabr in these type of conditions. He says, don't ever curse the wind. And it does not only apply to the wind, but it applies to every climate change that we experience, every weather pattern that we experience. لا تسب الريح. Don't curse the wind. Sometimes we might curse the wind. Say something negative about the rain, curse the heat, curse the cold. I planned a trip and the wind arrived. I can no longer go on my fishing trip, or I can no longer go on my hiking trip, or I can no longer go on my outing because of the rih, because of the wind. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تسب الريح. Don't curse the wind, فإنها مأمورة. It moves with the command and the permission of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, but rather ask Allah. Ask Allah khayraha wa khayrana fiha. Rather make this dua. This is a dua that we should constantly make. Considering the forecast, considering what they are predicting for the next few days. Ask Allah the khayr of that wind. Wind has khayr in it, it has good in it. And wind has shar in it. It has evil and bad in it. We can see how destructive the wind can be. So ask Allah khayraha wa khayrana fiha. Ask Allah for the khayr that is found in that wind. And the khayr with which it has been sent for the rains. Wa'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you against the shar that lies within that climate, or within that weather, or within that wind, within the rain, so that you are not affected by the destruction. So that's the first aspect when it comes to reacting. One is we spoke about rida. Secondly, sabr. What sabr means practically, we should be very careful of what we say, what we utter. It's a test for us. It's the month of sabr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing that sabr. Remember, it's a workshop. We're in a 30-day workshop right now. And in the workshop, when you are in the workshop, there are certain activities that you are given. There are certain assignments that you are given to see whether you have understood the concept that was taught to you. So there's theory and there's the practical application of it. So one is, we know Ramadan is shahru sabr. It is the month. In theory, we know it is the month of patience. What we are experiencing is the practical imtihan. This is the imtihan. This is the test. You know it is the month of sabr. That's the theory. That's what you heard. That's what you know. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has referred to it as. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an assignment. It is an activity. Practically, let's see whether you have understood the concept of sabr. You might not have water. It's the month of Ramadan. You might not have electricity. It's Shahru Sabr. This is an imtihan. I'm in that workshop. And this is an assignment given to me. I must ensure that I produce the best results in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you'll welcome it. You'll accept it. And then there'll be rida. There will be that contentment at your depth. There'll be that tranquility. There'll be that peace. There'll be that sukoon. Ista'inu bi sabr. So the first is sabr. Was salah. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of reaction. As salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, number one is sabr. Just when the calamity strikes, you are required to exercise sabr. And number two, as salah. As salah, turn to salah. In other words, connect yourself with Allah. Turn to salah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا كَانَ حَزَبَهُ الْأَمْرُ فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed any unfavorable condition in the climate, he would immediately resort to salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to intensify our connection with Allah. The month of Ramadan is already a month wherein we are seeking ways to enhance our relationship with Allah and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us now an even greater reason to do so. Allah has brought about these situations. Allah has brought about these conditions so that it prods us on and it urges us on to intensify our dua. Make more dua than the dua you are making, whether you are affected or not. Make more dua and with more conviction in your dua. إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you make dua to Allah, then make dua in such a state that you are convinced that Allah will answer your dua. You must make dua that whenever you are making dua, this is the month of dua, you are asking and begging from Allah at every opportunity that you have. You must never, ever doubt your dua, because when you are doubting your dua, or there's no conviction in your dua, you are actually doubting Allah's ability to answer your dua. And that's why you never doubt the power of dua. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certainly Allah is مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who are patient. SubhanAllah, I wish we could understand the depth of this. Perhaps through an example, it gives us just some idea of what it means when Allah says, I'm with you. You know, you take your little kid, or your little child hesitates, right? You take him to the swimming pool or wherever it may be, and he hesitates to get into the water. There's that hesitation. And you put your arm around the child and you say, I'm with you. I'm with you. Papa is here. I am with you. Right? You can always almost sense the confidence within the child. Allah says, when you react this way, sabr, salah, I'm with you. Allah is with you. And that's something we believe in. So long as we react in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to do. So we said that there are two aspects that we need to focus on. Shahru sabr and shahru muwasat. Shahru muwasat. It is a time for us to open up our hearts. Allah, again, it's the workshop, right? It's the workshop that we are experiencing, the 30-day workshop. Now we are given two practical exams. One is sabr, the other is muwasat. What is shahru muwasat? We spoke about the month wherein you express compassion. You share with others. You give others from what Allah has given you. Now is the practical imtihan. That's what it is. So you need to rise to the challenge. There are people who have suffered extensively. Ni'ma al-amir ala bab al-faqir. A scholar once said that the best amongst the affluent is not the one who waits for the faqir, for the poor person to come to his door. He is the one who's seen at the door of the poor. He's reaching out to them. He's not waiting for them to ask for help. Let us see how in this Shahru Muwasat, again, it's your assignment, a practical assignment. You heard about it, you know the theory. This is the assignment that Allah has given you for you to rise to the occasion, to prove yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us see how we can assist all those who have suffered. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the plight of the Muslims. in this part of the world and around the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to enhance within ourselves these two very, very important characteristics, that of sabr and that of muasat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to replace those who have lost, to replace them with something better in dunya and akhirah. The whole idea of any test in life is that it takes you closer to Allah. It takes you closer to Allah. It forces you to turn to Allah. I'll conclude on this example. You know, sometimes you might have noticed you have a construction worker, right? And he's got this drill and he's drilling into the ground. He's really drilling into the ground and he has these sound mufflers over his ear. And he's drilling. He can't hear anything around him. And his boss is standing on the top floor and his boss wants his attention. So what does his boss do? He takes out the 200 bucks and he throws it down. This guy is drilling. He sees 200 rand lying in front of him. He takes it. He puts it in his pocket. He doesn't look up. It might stop falling. He keeps on drilling. And his boss wants his attention. I need you to look up at me. So he throws down another 200 bucks. What does he do? He picks it up. He puts it in his pocket without lifting his head, without looking where it comes from. So what does he do? He takes a stone. Right? And he throws down a stone, and the stone hits him on the head. What does he do? First thing he does, natural reaction is what? He looks up. You know, sometimes we're so engrossed in dunya, and Allah is throwing down favors. The ni'mah of health, the ni'mah of afiyah, the ni'mah of wealth, the ni'mah of water, the ni'mah of bread. Look up. I'm throwing down so many favors, but we're so busy drilling in dunya. We're not looking up. We're not looking where the bounties are coming from. Allah wants you to look up. What does Allah do? Allah throws a stone at times. It hurts. But what does it do? It forces you to look up. You look up. And then it takes you closer to Allah. Wallahi, that stone that hit your head and that hurt you and made you look up and took you closer to Allah was far better than the 100 bounties that fell and distracted you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.